We're joined in studio by my next guest. We're joined by Corina Healy and Jesse Bowen. You're both very welcome to be with us today.
Thanks for having us, Anna.
Now, I know we've spoken in the past here on The Level about CHEP. CHEP is an Irish non-for-profit community-based training and development organisation established back in 1974. I think Corina was in telling us last year a little bit about that. But one of the areas that they work in is advocacy, and they run a Cork advocacy service. So for those who need support to access their rights and entitlements. And I know, Jesse, you're going to tell us a little bit about that today. And I suppose, first of all, just to tell us a little bit about what advocacy is.
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Well, advocacy, I suppose, really, in a nutshell, it's about supporting people. It's about being beside a person and helping that person to have his or her voice heard. It's a rights-based practice, and it seeks to empower the vulnerable and marginalised in society. It's about helping people to stand up for their rights and to have their voices heard. Sometimes, you know, we can make it a little bit more complicated than it really needs to be. Mm-hmm. You can read about different models, different methods, but, you know, at the heart of it all, it's really about listening to somebody and supporting them to be heard.
Mm. Now, many of us may not be that familiar with advocacy, and when we think about it, we might think of solicitors and barristers. What's the difference between legal advocacy and, for example, what you do?
It's quite different. We're not legal advocates. We are not legally trained, mm-hmm. but we are a rights-based practice. And, you know, it does happen sometimes that people actually ask us to go along to the meetings with them, to their solicitors, just to try and ensure that they can get their voices heard.
Mm. And to understand what's going on. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the work that you do. Describe it to us.
Yeah, sure. I suppose it can be all different kinds of situations. For example, from supporting people in residential care. This could be nursing residential homes for older people or residential homes for people with disabilities. To maybe supporting individuals living in the community who are isolated with little support and struggling to get services or resources for themselves. For example, you know, people who slip through the net. We see quite a bit of that, actually. Mm. People who may be struggling with a disability and have tried to find ways to get the things they need, but, you know, they're just not getting them. It could be anything, really, from a small adaptation that means that they can get in and out their front door, to supporting someone to get their voice heard where their child has been taken into care, for example. And, you know, of course, the emphasis on outcomes and supporting people to get what they need is, of course, of the utmost importance. But what seems to be paramount also is really standing beside a person and the difference this makes to them, you know. And another thing just to say, you know, like what we're not about, we don't make judgments. We don't advise. We don't say what we think is best. What we do, we listen. We get information. We make sure people know about their options, and we are behind whatever it is that they decide.
So helping people really to face fearful situations that they may be unfamiliar or uncomfortable with. So tell us a little bit about the Cork Advocacy Service.
Yeah, well, I suppose the Cork Advocacy Service, it began in 1999 as a small community-based service for older people. It was then called COPAS, which stands for the Cork Older People's Advocacy Service. But it has since developed, you know, and it's available today now to a much wider group of people who are facing marginalisation. So the Cork Advocacy Service, which is also known as CAS for short, is a small advocacy service which is run by one coordinator, Deirdre Lillis, and it has 12 volunteer advocates. It's part of the Social and Health Education Project, which is a not-for-profit, community-based training and development organisation. And they also offer low-cost counselling. The Cork Advocacy Service has three strands to it. We advocate for older adults, for people with disabilities, and for people who have mental health difficulties. You know, since CAS began, there are more national advocacy services out there now. They've developed in the meantime. And I suppose this came about after all the publicity from, you know, the Lees Cross nursing home, and then more recently the primetime special featuring Auris Attracta and everything that was going on there, you know. So although we now have national advocacy services, we still see a huge need. You know, there's still not enough advocacy out there at all for people.
Many people out there certainly are not aware of what their rights are, or even who to go to for help. So what is it that attracted you to becoming an advocate? Why did you become an advocate?
I suppose, you know, I feel very passionate about justice and social justice anyway. I think this came about from my own life experience. And, you know, I get an awful lot out of being a volunteer advocate. I love it. I love knowing that I'm helping some people out there. It fulfills me and it gives me a sense of well-being. You know, although the work can be difficult too, and it's a struggle at times. God, it really is. Often we're battling against the powers that be. But there's great satisfaction in it too, you know, when desired outcomes are achieved, when rights are upheld and people's voices are heard, and when people have been empowered through the whole process. That for me, that's everything, you know. I get great joy out of that. And, you know, this work has also helped me personally in my own life. It helps me to feel very grateful for everything that I have as well, you know. So, yeah, I get an awful lot out of it.
It seems like a very satisfactory thing to do.
Yeah.
And does it make a difference in people's lives out there? And how does it make a difference in people's lives?
Yeah, gosh, I feel it definitely does. You know, I think it makes a huge difference. I suppose we try to address disparity. Our aim is to empower people to a place where the optimum result is self-advocacy. And there's so many people out there, you know, that feel disempowered. And our aim is to counteract that just by really listening to a person, and that person feeling heard can instill confidence, and it just helps them to stand up for themselves.
And do you get support as an advocate?
Yes, I do. You know, well, I suppose it depends really, Anna, what type of support you're talking about now. If you're talking about financial support, we have none, really. We've no dedicated budget for the volunteer advocates as it stands. There's no money there. All the advocates work for free. So we are already giving of our time and expertise, and the advocacy service doesn't want us to be out of pocket, you know, because of this. So the money raised will go towards the advocates' expenses. So this is what the fundraising event is all about, really. It'll help towards petrol costs and parking, and anything left over will go towards ongoing training opportunities for the advocates. But, you know, with regard to, you know, you're talking about support, I suppose with regard to emotional or psychological support, we've plenty of that. There's, you know, we get a lot of support from SHEP as an organisation. We're very well supported that way. Deirdre Lillis, the advocacy development worker who runs the advocacy service, gives us great support and guidance. She's always there for us whenever we need her. And then, of course, there's Jim Sheehan, who's the director of the Social and Health Education Project. He's also very, very supportive of the advocacy service and all of us. And he's behind us all the way and is there for all of us whenever we need him. And then, you know, we also have regular supervision, where the volunteers meet as a group with the supervisor to discuss any issues or difficulties that we might have, both in our personal lives and in relation to our work. So there, you know, things get talked out, teased out, and we're helped with things that might be affecting us in the work that we do and in our work going forward. So all of this support is fantastic for us, you know, and it's invaluable to us, really.
And how does somebody become a volunteer advocate, Jessie?
Yeah, well, I suppose if you wanted to become a volunteer advocate with CAS, you have to go through some training with us. There's a training course out there. So I suppose if you were interested, what you might do is contact SHEP, the SHEP offices in Ballincollig, and they will give you all the details then of our introduction to advocacy course, which is run every 2 years. So the next one will start now again in October 2016.
Wow, I can only begin to imagine what it would be like for somebody who doesn't have the information where to go, who to ask, to have somebody like a volunteer advocate come alongside and help in that way. Must be amazing. Now, Karina, moving over to you, what's your role in all of this?
Well, as always, Anna, I have the very shallow role of organising the party. Fundraising is very difficult these days, you know.
Yeah,
but it's so lovely to be able to say on the 9th of October, there will be a fundraising lunch in the Oriel House Hotel. It will cost you €30 and it will be an absolute beautiful afternoon. Great way to spend time with friends. We're going to have live music. We're going to have a raffle that's second to none. There's a team of us working together and one of the volunteer advocates went out and got amazing spot prizes. We have spot prizes from Scoozies, the Escape Span Hair Salon, Fenn's Hair Design, Lancaster Barber, the Everyman Theatre, Serendipity. I just can't wait to win any of these prizes. There's the Wild West Wings Restaurant, Fenn's Key Restaurant, Wagamama, Luigi Malone's, Milano's, and we have a top prize of €250 from the TSB.
Wow.
So it'll be a great day and it'll be definitely well worth investing your money.
Mm. And as we said, it's a fantastic service. So all of the money raised, how will that change the role of the advocacy? What will it do for them?
Well, in truth, like, they're doing great work and they're giving their time, imagine, and they're giving all their expertise.
Yeah.
And simple things like if you have an appointment in the CUH and you need an advocate to be with you, you know, you could spend an arm and a leg on the parking. So we want to make sure that simple things like that are not an issue.
Yeah.
You know, that people's petrol costs are covered. It's really a very simple funding that we want.
Yeah.
But it just, it makes a difference. Mm. And, I'm here to salute the advocates today for the work they do. And it's very important to recognise these people who are helping the vulnerable in our society.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a great job and they're giving the hours. They definitely shouldn't be out of pocket.
Yeah.
So we want to raise a bit of money, show them that we love them, and care for them as well as the people who are being helped.
Yeah, and to enable them to allow the service to continue.
Absolutely, absolutely. Only for these kind of people in the community, where would the vulnerable be? You know, where would the vulnerable be?
Yeah. Now, I know you want to thank some people, I'm sure.
Oh, I do. This whole fundraising event was the brainchild of Dermot Godsell. He is he's the husband of one of the workers out in the SHEP office, and he has been a major cheerleader from the sidelines of the work of SHEP, because we definitely see the value of the work within the community. So Dermot approached Oriel House Hotel, got a great response from them. They were very accommodating, very welcoming. He organised that they'd be our main sponsors, and he has organised the tickets and the whole thing. And then just very late in the day, myself and Padraig came along as part of the team, and we're here for the happy bit, and we'll organise the, you know, the actual event on the day. But it's very important to get the word out. Imagine spending a Friday afternoon on the 9th of October with your girls or with your guys, whoever you hang around with, and €30, a beautiful three-course lunch in a gorgeous hotel, and still be able to help a good cause. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you might even be going for lunch anyway on a Friday. What else would you be doing?
Yeah.
You know?
A great afternoon. So who's invited to the lunch? I know you mentioned, really, anybody out there who wants to support the work.
Absolutely. We'd love to see, you know, anybody come along, any group of friends. The tickets are €30 and you can get them from the SHEP offices in Ballincollig. I'm going to say the number now so we'll be clear. So the number to ring is 021-4666-180, or you can email SHEP at info@socialandhealth.com. Or log on to the website and you can see exactly where to, you know, you can contact SHEP that way.
Yeah.
But we really would love to sell the tickets. We expect to have up to 300 people there, and Oriel House are definitely expecting 300 people. They have loads of food cooked, I'd say already. I'm only joking. So we'll have a great day and it really will be a happy event. And we want to make it, like, if we did it this year, we may be able to do it next year. And it could be an annual thing, you know. So we really want it to be a success. And to be honest, I want it to be a success for Dermot. He's doing a great job, you know.
As well as you mentioned the volunteer advocates, we couldn't even begin to measure. Actually, I was at a meeting recently where the financial director was giving an account of how much the volunteers, if you had to pay these volunteers for the hours, what the organisation would have to take in. And it's a similar situation. Yeah. We can't even quantify what these volunteers mean to an organisation like SHEP, and particularly in the area of advocacy. And all you're asking is that their very basic expenses, like the parking, would be covered, like the fuel to get them to the meetings would be covered. And it's for those people who need it, those who are vulnerable, who don't have a voice, who don't know how to ask the questions, who don't know where to go.
Yeah, we're thrilled that they have the heart and the conviction to do this work.
Mm.
Like, it really is. It's an incredible gift to be able to give your time and your expertise.
Mm.
And really, the work of SHEP overall, I can't say enough about it, you know.
Mm.
They're doing a great job. They're reaching out to people in the community all the time. And it's completely non-judgmental and very welcoming.
Yeah. And I know the website for SHEP, socialandhealth.com, and all of the work is up there, including the advocacy service, for those who might be listening today and think, I could actually do with that service myself.
Yes. Yeah. All the information is up there.
And it's open for anyone to contact.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Karina Healy and Jessie Bone, thank you both so much for coming in to chat to us here today. Karina, I know you want to mention again the date and the time and the tickets.
So it's October 9th. It's Friday, kicking off at 12:30, and it will be in the Oriel House Hotel. And the phone number to ring for your tickets right now is 021-4666-180. And SHEP's email is info@socialandhealth.com. Please support this fantastic effort.
Give us the date again, Karina.
It's Friday, October 9th.
Yeah. Put it in your diary.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
And we'll remind you of that again before the date. Hopefully by the time we do remind people, it'll all be sold out.
Yeah. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you both so much for coming in to join us today.
Anna.